Welcome back to Sister Chat.
I'm Lee and
I'm Cheryl.
And we are sisters, as you can imagine. And we've had a wonderful week this week. Oh, we've had many ups and downs, and we had thought about what we wanted to do in this podcast, and it was overwhelming that it was going to be
Mother's Day
and what we feel about being a mother in this day and age.
Yes,
because it is, it's a hard, this, you know, even though things have got easier, motherhood's got harder.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we don't live close like we used to, like you know, you had more help, I think, back in the day of your mother's not living far away.
Yeah.
But nowadays, I would say a lot of people aren't living close.
Hmm.
And I think we're very blessed because our mum isn't very far from us.
Hmm. So we just thought we'd take the opportunity to invite my beautiful daughter, Gabby.
Hi.
And our wonderful mum, Grace.
Hello.
So, now we'll put you on the spot. Gabby, what do you think about me? Oh, no. What do you think when you think of, you know, mum, Mother's Day? What do you think mothers go through to get a special day in their lives?
I mean, they do a lot. You pretty much do everything.
Well, he was talking to me the other day, and we were talking about going shopping and how I'd said, oh, we should have invited, you know, whoever. And you said, no, I just like shopping with you, Mum. Well, why do you think that is?
Oh, because I think we get along pretty well. We also, like, butt heads a lot because we're pretty similar. But we get along really well. And you're also, like, when we go shopping, you're very honest as well. So I always know that if you give something a tick of approval, it looks pretty good.
But it was fun going shopping with you, and although we have similar tastes in clothes,
it's also really different sometimes.
And really different taste as well. So we do have a lot of fun getting dressed up and changing clothes and looking at things and saying, no, I can't afford it.
Yeah, we did a bit of that.
Yeah, so it is fun to go and do things with your mum sometimes.
Yeah. It's good.
So you enjoy spending time with your mum?
Of course. Well, you know me better than anyone else does. So it's always nice to just kind of spend time being myself with someone who knows me really well. And yeah, it's nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Oh, well, that's good. You can stay. You can stay.
Thanks.
Cheryl, you want to ask mum some questions?
Yes. What is your best Mother's Day ever?
Most Mother's Day we always went picnicking.
Oh, that's like, nice.
That was Dad's day where he done something that was surprising.
Oh, nice.
I can't remember. Did we ever give you breakfast in bed?
I think it was at the cow yard.
I was going to say, she was probably up before you guys were.
A long time ago.
Yeah. I don't remember you, whether we got up and... I think we tried, didn't we? But I don't think we ever got up that early.
No, we wouldn't have.
Once we become mothers, do you think that we then appreciated more Mother's Day, that we needed to appreciate our mother?
That's right.
Once we realised the jarring reality of motherhood.
Yes.
And, so I think that's...
Yeah, we appreciated her far more once we had our children.
Yeah, once we had our kids, I remember ringing mum and apologising for it lots. Because you just go, oh, is that what mum went through? Oh, no. She knows exactly how we go through. But I think the best thing about having a mum is that you know you can tell her anything and she's going to be on your side. And
so true, I'll second that.
So I think that's what we love about our mum.
That's
is
true.
She's there, and we really appreciate, even with all the health scares she's put her through in the last few years. Yeah, she's still around, and so God's got her around for a reason.
Yes.
And I think it's I think we must still have some things we need to learn, Cheryl.
Yes, her wisdom. Lots of wisdom and way of doing things, especially her craft.
Yeah, yeah. Mum loves craft, and we all get in and do some craft, don't we?
Yeah. We sure do.
Yeah, yeah. What do you like about having, you know, four amazing children?
Oh, I worked hard to get that.
You did. And you're very proud of yourself that you grew us up to adulthood.
I didn't lose any, obviously.
Yes, that's pretty good, yes. Yeah. And what about your mum? What did you think about your mum? We didn't have Nana Moore for a very long in our years. I think she died when I was nine. I was quite young when she passed away. So we didn't really have a lot of time with her. So, you know, we can only go from the stories that you tell us about her. So just tell us a really good story about your mum.
Being a German, I think she just worked and worked and worked. But she had a lovely way about her. She was behind the scenes of everything. She was the one that done the washing up, and she was the one that was a dog body, I always called, because she wasn't out the front. She was always just a backstop for Dad. Yeah.
So she was a hard worker.
She was. She was the one that got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and got everything going.
Mm.
And so,
I loved the way she used to go. Whenever her children needed her, she would go and stay with them. And we had bouts of the mumps, and Nana Moore would come and help.
Yeah. Yeah, she was always seemed to be, you know, that one that shared herself and was pretty selfless.
Yeah.
Mm.
A lot like you, Mum. You gave of everything to everyone.
A different life, though.
Our lives get easier with the contraptions that come along.
I don't know when it started to get easy.
When you had Shirley.
Come on. Having that last child, that was probably the pinnacle of your motherhood career.
Well, it was nice the other day when Jan apologised about being so hard on you kids because she had to look after you while I was at the art.
Yeah, she grew up. Very fast. So Jen is our older sister, and she was five years older than Cheryl. So I'm 2 years younger than Cheryl. So she was 7 years older than me, and she had to take over.
She tried to burn the house down one day. That was quite exciting. She come to the yard and she had no eyebrows. Yeah, that was an exciting morning. But anyway, no, I think you all grew up very well and you've taken your responsibilities well.
Mm, yeah. And yes, we have made many a phone call to you to apologise for everything we put you through. Well, thank you, Mum, for coming and sharing with us about being a mother and talking about your mother. And that's what we wanted to hear today, because we wanted to exhort mothers today. Oh, and, yeah, so thank you, Mum.
Thank you.
Anyway, so how's your week this week, Shel?
Ah, well, I've had my wonderful children come and paint my house.
Oh, wow. It must look amazing.
It does. Nothing like a fresh coat of paint.
Mm, yeah,
I'd agree. Just freshens everything up and makes the house look great.
Yeah, and you feel good when it's done too.
Yes.
Because you just feel like it's newer and it's like fresh. Oh, that's really cool.
What about you, Lee?
Hubby's been away this week, so I suppose I've had more, like the kids are good because when Dad's away, they kind of stay home more. Oh, and nice. I have two children at home, a boy and a girl, and they are working full time, both of them, in various jobs. And when they know Dad's away, they're they're really good. They do stick around and go, oh, Mum, you're not going to be home by yourself, are you? That's nice. And
that's lovely.
So that's been my week. And, yeah, it's been quite good. But we'll get into what it was like for us when we first became mothers. I know it's a long time. It's how long for you, Shell?
Well, it's 30 years since I had Jess.
Yeah. She celebrated 30 years. That's right. Yeah. So can you remember back to the time when you went from being a woman, a person, a, you know, like everything else, and then all of a sudden you turn into one thing, and that is a mother?
I would say I was scared. Mm. I remember thinking, am I the right person to raise this beautiful little girl? And the good thing was I did live in the same town as my mum and my mother-in-law. And if I needed anything, they were right there. So even though I was scared and I knew I wasn't a real person that loved babies, you know.
Maternal.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. And when I became a mum, I remember my pastor saying, you've changed.
Mm.
And that helped me, that I could raise this little girl.
Mm.
And it was a privilege, and a lot of course, you know, all the sleepless nights and all that. But I remember thinking how precious this little one, and I hope I get her to adulthood. And yeah. And it was, yeah, I loved being a mum. I remember being a mum.
But there's nothing you can do or say to someone that can prepare them for motherhood. And as much as you get, you can read books, listen to podcasts, you can do all this sort of stuff, look up on the internet. There's no instruction manuals. It's just bang, you're a mother.
Yes.
It's like when you get married, you go from being this miss and single person to being, bang, this married person and having to include every single thing that you do into a marriage.
Yes.
And a partner, having a partner that you do and everything with. And then your life changes.
It does.
And then you go into motherhood where there is no instruction manual. You just get handed this beautiful bundle of joy, they say, and nothing's natural. Like, no. They say motherhood is natural. It's not natural.
It's not natural.
No. Like, I just imagine myself, you know, peacefully breastfeeding with my gorgeous little baby. That didn't happen. Every single feed was just horrendous. I'm thinking, I don't even have the right equipment for this job. And you know, like, just looking at her and thinking, you know, every time she get a fever, or whether, you know, she didn't poop right or something like that, or she'd throw up her breakfast, lunch and dinner. And you'd just be in this constant state of apprehension about whether you're going to be able to get this child raised to adulthood. You could never even imagine, you know, what I have now is I have an adult daughter. She's like turning 24.
24.
And
wow.
Yeah. And how did that happen?
And that's another thing. You think the baby stage is going to last a long time. Mm. So you're going, will I ever finish with nappies? You know, and
will I ever sleep again?
But when you do think back, it was like a blink of an eye.
Yeah, yeah.
And you think those times, and I tell mums, I say, that time at night when you're reading to your child, kissing them goodnight and tucking them in, I, you know, really cherish that.
Mm.
Because I don't think I did. I think all I wanted them sleep.
Yes, please sleep.
But I look back and they were some of the precious times of motherhood.
I remember having Gabby, and she, apart from her not, you know, we didn't sleep much when she was little. Once she got older, I reckon about 6 to 9 months was like that. It was almost like God going, okay, now I'll give you a happy, pleasant child. And from between 6 and 9 months before she got up and ran around or crawled or whatever, it was just that time where she would just laugh and laugh and laugh. And I remember enjoying that time more than any other time in the life, because you just felt like you could relax into motherhood, and you sort of, oh, I got this. Yeah, and then they got up and walked. And there was a whole nother stage. And I think when I look back, the biggest part of motherhood is recognizing the stage you're in. And I think if I would have thought back then, like what Cheryl just said, enjoying that stage you're in is so important, because they grow and they change and they mature and they go end up going out into the world, and you can't control them anymore. That was the biggest shock for me when I realized I couldn't control my children anymore. Like when they were little, when they were babies, I controlled when they ate, when they were changed, when they had their baths, when they played with toys, when they watched television. And I controlled their whole environment. And then you get to the stage where you got to put them out into the world. Well, Gabby's first day of school, I wanted to be a part of every second of it. And it was rude when the teacher said, now, parents, we need you to leave. And I was nearly kicking and screaming, I'll tell you, trying to leave that room. And they actually had tears and tissues time for parents after the first day of school. And I remember thinking, how am I going to let her go every single day? And not everyone feels that way. And it may just be me, but it was my first child.
Yes.
And she was being let out into the world. And then you had to hear back from other people what she's turned out like, whether she was a nice girl, whether she was, yes, you know, someone that was mean or a bully, or, and everything you took personally.
I think everything I said I wasn't going to do as mum, I did. The one thing I said, I'm never going to have a dummy. And my last child, I was forcing him to have a dummy. Yes. Because I just wanted a little bit of peace. So I think be very careful as you become a mum to judge people, because everyone's road is different.
Yeah.
And every child is different. And you can have what they call a compliant child, and then you can have a defiant child.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And they can be from the same mum and dad.
Yes.
And you go, what?
Yeah.
Are you sure that's mine?
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? And I think that's resounding. If you hear this and recognise, you know, yourselves in anything that we say, it is so true. Judging another mother is just the worst thing you can do as a woman, because we've got to be encouragers. We've got to be the one that sees that mother that's struggling and go up to them and say, you know what? You are an amazing mother. It's like a literal piece of you is walking on this earth when you have a child.
Yes.
Is that right, Cheryl?
That's correct, yes.
And every time that child hurts, you hurt. Yes. Every time that child feels joy, that they've accomplished, you just feel like on top of the world.
Of the world, yes.
And, you know, it is got to be the hardest job on the planet.
Well, I think underappreciated most of the time. But I know that mothers also get a lot more cuddles and kisses.
Yeah.
And I think they're our reward. If we ever worry that we're not doing a good job, when your child comes up and gives you a cuddle and looks you in the eye and says, oh, I love you, mummy, it just melts everything away.
100%, yes. Yeah, yeah. Agreed, definitely. And we're thinking about, like, you just, I think sometimes you just make things up as you go along. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, you don't have this instruction manual for each child. No. So I used to make up little things, well, as they were growing up and not really thinking about it. But then I think back and I'm going, oh, wow, you actually did quite a good job there. And I remember making this up, this game, and I'd buy a bag of chocolates, and my kids love chocolates. Anyway, I remember thinking, I think it was you, Shirl, that actually said that before the kids start school, they've got to know how to catch a ball. Well, I was freaking out. How am I going to do this? So I bought a bag of chocolate and I said, hey, kids, you want a chocolate? And I'd throw the chocolate at them. If they missed said chocolate, I would walk over, pick the chocolate up, open it and eat it in front of them.
Oh, you mean mum.
I know.
But what a good way.
But do you know, each of them had one time that I ever had to do that to them.
That is amazing.
Yep, one child. I don't even, I would throw that wide and high and low and those kids.
They should have been basketball stars.
I know. They should have been amazing. Like, even now, apparently, Gabby's friends are just freaked out when she catches things with her left hand in the air and they just go, what? But it was just out of, oh, yeah, I wonder if I can encourage the children in that. And then another way that I had, I crazily thought up this idea, the kids would come to me all the time, as kids do. Mom, can I have this? Mom, can I have this? We used to go into these shops and they used to have 15% off everything in the shop. And so I'd go, I'll let you have it if you can work out the percentage off. So how much is going to be off that price of that $2.50 bubble gum? And if you can tell me how much I'm going to pay at the register, you can have it. But if you can't, not doing it. And so these kids are very good at math now.
And what is your son?
My son is now a financial advisor. So yeah, he's very, yeah, money-minded. Yeah. So it just crazily worked out that way. And I would come up with these wacky games for the kids to do and play. Like Gabby was reading it. I think she was about four when she was fluently reading.
That is amazing.
I used to think up all these crazy games on how she could learn sounds and everything like this. And I think back now and I'm going, I thought it was just normal that a child could read at four, but apparently not, you know. But you don't know with your first child. No, everything that they do is like a first. And, yeah, so it's,
well,
yeah.
Talking of that, I thought that you had to have your children out of nappies by 12 months. And I remember putting my Jess on the toilet and she was toilet trained just after 12 months. And I was embarrassed because it was over 12 months.
Oh, no.
And then I realised, especially now that I do daycare, they can go right up to four-year-olds. So, yes, that's not true, everyone.
Then you get these older mothers that would go, my child was toilet trained at 12 months and why isn't yours? And I got that too. My mother-in-law said, oh, my children were magically toilet trained by 12 months old. And I'd be freaking out as well. And then when I worked out, what? That two-year-old's still running around with nappy and that four-year-old's still got a dummy in his mouth. And you realise that you're putting pressure on yourself because of one person saying or a couple of people saying, you mustn't be a good mother if you haven't toilet trained your child.
So again, back to the judging thing.
The judging, exactly.
Don't judge.
Yes, yes, that's our word for the day. Mothers, don't judge. So, yeah, and our kids survived and we got through the toddler years.
Yes.
Then the teenage years.
They say the terrible twos, but I'm pretty sure it's the terrible teens.
Yeah. Well, I have a theory and I'm yet to be disproved.
Okay.
That whatever your child is in their terrible 2 years, and some kids are great, you know, and other kids are, you know, a little horrors, that's what you're going to come across when they're teenagers, when they turn teenagers. So if you master them at their toddler, two-year-old toddler stage, then you can actually use those same strategies in their teenage years. And it actually works. And I remember saying to someone, you know, I guarantee you're going to go through that again. Master it now in the toddler time, then you won't have to worry about in the teenage years. And I went through it with Gabby and Rocky. They both went through the, you know, the terrible twos, but Gabby was probably more placid. And when she hit teenage years, she sort of had, you know, a mild attack of the teenage tantrums. But generally, she was pretty much what I would say, what I dealt with in the twos and threes. Rocky, very much so. He was the defiant child. He was the one that he would just, if he didn't want to do something, he'd just literally say no. And the look on his face, there wasn't anything you could do. Like, you literally, like Gabby would do whatever you asked her to do. And you'd only have to look at her sideways and she'd burst into tears. Rocky, he would just go, nah, not doing it. Not doing it. And he literally would not do it. It didn't matter what you did, what you would threaten, anything like that. He would not do it. And when he became a teenager, the same thing happened. But applying the same rules, we got him through the teenage years.
He survived.
He survived. And he's now a 21-year-old man. So that's really good. So it's an interesting theory.
Oh, well, so we need to hear back from some of our listeners.
Yeah, and whether they think similarly and whether they can go, oh, I remember that in their toddler years. I might apply the same rules. Okay, now we're at the stage where we are now. This is we're in the next stage, and both Cheryl and I, we've done the babydom, we've done the toddler, we've done the teenage, we've done the, even, you know, I'm in the 20s now.
Yes.
They call them the stupid 20s. Okay. So it's where they do they do stupid things, but you still got to love them. And then, yeah, and then there's the, they get married or they move away from home. Yes, and
that is my stage.
Yes. The empty nester.
The empty nester.
So tell us about the empty nester, Cheryl.
The empty nesting for both me and my sister and even my mum, it was like overnight. I had the house bursting with children to the point where I turned around and there was no one. And last Mother's Day had hit. I woke up and there was no breakfast in bed. There were no presents. And there was no one else in the house. My husband's a shift worker. So I thought to myself, poor me. Then my beautiful friend who does a missionary over at Botswana sent me a message. She not only was away from her family, she was over in Africa, in Botswana. And I thought, here I am feeling sorry for myself. She has thought of me and sent me a beautiful message. So I think God was saying, even though my children were away, I wasn't away. Like, I can go and see my children anytime I like, and vice versa, they can come and see me. So my empty nesting, I find very hard because I'm a very social person, and my daughter and I would do things together. And then she got married and now she's having a life and she'll have her own children and it'll go on. But I do think I do appreciate my mother more because I realise we left suddenly. Yeah. Like, it wasn't dribs and drabs with her, it was quite sudden, especially with Lee and I. When we left, I got married and Lee moved away, And so, and then my sister Jenny, her daughter, moved away as well as one got married. And so she had the same thing. So when it happens suddenly, it's very hard on you because, especially if you get on with your children.
Yeah.
And I loved having them home. And but I do then also appreciate when they come. And I know my mum does the same. She appreciates when we come.
Yeah, when we come. Yeah. And our mum's been through a lot, as we've said, a lot of illnesses in the last couple of years. And so I think we've learnt to appreciate having her here. And it's really nice hearing some of the stories that she's got to tell and that sort of thing. And I suppose we appreciate mum because we lost our dad a long time ago. So we only have one parent.
Yes.
And I think we appreciate that we have a parent.
Yes.
And I think that keeps you together as well. I know matriarchs are the ones that draw people together. And in our greater family, as in my mum's sisters and brothers and niece, cousins, that's been the way as well. The matriarch was my mum's mum, our Nenna, and she always drew the family in, and we'd always go at least once or twice a year.
Yes.
We would all gather together. And we had 42 cousins.
Yes.
And so, you know, that wasn't just, you know, a couple of drop-ins. That's a lot of people.
That's
like
right.
We've only got, you know, between us and kids, there's only 9.
Yeah.
And she had 42 grandchildren. So when she passed away, which was when we were quite young, it was hard for mum's sisters to get that family thing back to into a way that we got together once a year.
Yes.
So not just for funerals and weddings, we got together, and to this day we now have every October, around October, November, we have a Moore reunion.
Yes.
Where as many people as we can get together, and it's just a lovely gathering, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
And
And it's lovely to see everyone laughing and having a great time together.
And reminiscing.
And reminiscing.
Yeah, memories and stories. And
like the food. The food is known for the Moore reunion.
That is just one of the reasons why I go. Like our family, our mums and our aunties and Nenna were the best cooks, which I know everyone says that.
They do.
You know, their Nenna is the one that, you know, would bake the scones, and our Nenna was known for her sponges.
Yes.
And you either had the anointing from the sponge making or you didn't. It literally is one or the other. I never got it. But I know Gab, my daughter, she does.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. She puts her mind to it. She makes beautiful cakes. And, yeah, so I think that food is a gatherer. But I know my auntie every year goes, oh, I don't think I can do it another year. I don't think I can do it. And I keep on telling her, you are now the matriarch. Whether you like the mantle or not, you are the matriarch. You are the gatherer of the family. And I think it's true. There has to be one person that gathers.
Yes.
And I think that's always seems to be on the mother that does that. So the mother, the matriarch, you know, have the patriarch, but people gather more for the mothers than they do for the fathers. And I don't know why that is, why God created that to be a thing, but maybe we're the nurturers.
Yes.
We're the ones that cook and people come for the cooking.
Yes.
Yeah, like it is a thing. And I suppose it's taking that on and going, once you become that empty nester, how am I going to gather my children back in
together
to make sure that they communicate?
Yes.
And it's hard, like you've said, how hard it is now that they've left the nest.
Yes.
To
well, I love that we get together around family game night.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we love the family game night.
Yes.
Yes.
We love getting together and playing euchre.
Yeah. Yeah.
And laughing and just enjoying one another's company. Yeah.
But we do love our games, and we love a thing called Booth's Rules, which yes. I think we'll get into. We'll have a podcast on Booth's Rules because it's something, you know, we need to explore. Very special. You know, it's a way that we, you know, we gather and play games, and we do enjoy our times of getting together and playing games. And one of the other things as well, we get away for girls' weekends.
Yes.
And that's been something that's been special to our family.
Yes.
And I think everyone has that way of getting together, like what makes a special get together.
Yes.
Yeah, and getting together for the girls' weekend is something that, you know, look at your family and see what makes them gel and get together and enjoy each other. And it means that somebody's got to put themselves out and organise it. And
which it is hard. You, Lee. it's always left up to Lee. But she gets excited about things, and that's what I like.
Mm.
And she never says no.
Well, what do you reckon, Cheryl? Do you think we covered most things in
Mother's
Day? Yes. Yeah.
And to have our mum
with us. How special, yeah.
That's so special.
Yeah, it's special to have her and Gabby. Gabby yes. came in. Thank you, Gabby, for being part of our podcast. And I really do hope that maybe you hear something that we say and it sparks something in your life. We just hope that our podcast is an encouragement for everyone.
Yes.
And maybe you have a few laughs and with us and let us know. Remember, you know, you can join in our podcast anytime, and yeah, let us know what you think.
Yes, drop by.
Yeah. So this is Cheryl and Lee on Sister Chat.